Messiah daf nun teta mudbet, truth or opinion, tanur shel achnai. Marcus Aurelius was the son-in-law and successor of Antoninus. Antoninus was the friend of Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi, the author of the Mishnah. So when Marcus Aurelius says everything we hear is an opinion, not a fact, everything we see is a perspective, not the truth, is that a Dvar Chochmah, is that a word of wisdom that applies in the Torah as well? Or can we write it off and just say that's a Roman view? He was an ethicist, he was a philosopher, he was somebody who took these things very seriously and thought about them a lot. So how applicable is this in Torah? We start to understand it as we look at all these myriad perspectives that we have in the Torah. Are they perspectives? Are they opinions? Or are they the emes? And how do we decide? So there are two sugyas that we need to look at to understand. This one is back in Chagiga on Daf Gimel, and one is on our Daf, with the famous story of the Tanur Shel Achnai, a discussion between Rabbi Eliezer and his friends and his colleagues around the question of a particular stove, an oven that was made of different parts, that was assembled and disassembled, whether it had the din of an integrated oven, and that would have certain impact as far as the laws of Tumah and Tahara are concerned, was it considered separate pieces that are put together from time to time, in which case the halakha is different. And we start off in order to understand this with a posuk in Kohelet, at the very end of Kohelet, Divrei chachamim kedar vonot, uchamas merot netuim ba'alei asufot, nitnu meroe echad. The words of the chachamim are like goads, like nails fixed into the prodding sticks which they used to keep the oxen going straight. They were given by one shepherd. Explains the Mitzudas David based on the Gemara, Ki divrei chachamim hema kedar vonot, the words of the chachamim are compared here to these goading sticks, that just as the goading sticks are used to keep the oxen on track, kach divrei chachamim mechavnim et ha'adam ledarchei ha'chochma. The words of the chachamim keep a person on track. And it's a very interesting image. It's the words of the chachamim. It's not that they tell us what to do. They give us the guidelines. They give us the guardrails, and we operate within them. That's how we have to see the divrei chachamim, not as fundamentalist rules that we have to follow and obey. And you'll see how important this is as we go forward, but as the guidelines and guardrails outside of which we can't wander, but within which we have latitude to move to a degree. Chmas merot netuim ba'alei asufot, the ba'alei asufot, hema melaktim misfarim shonim vayachberu machberot. The ba'alei asufot are the people who gather, they create anthologies of other people's opinions, and they put them together. And nitnu mero echad, af sheyesh behem deot mibnei adam shonim, kulam amitiyim, even though they have different views from different people, they're all true. And that's part of our problem. How can they all be true? If one says kosher and one says treif, how can they all be true? Ki chochmat kulam nitnu min hamakom baruch hu, that's all given by Hashem, u'achone l'adam das, Hashem gave us the wisdom to work things out. ולפי שדימת האדם לבהמה צריך הדבנות, אחד לשון רואה מלמד את הבהמה. אחז לשון רואה מלמד את הבהמה. The Gemara says in Chagiga, בעלי אסופות, אלו תלמידי חכמים שיושבים אסופות אסופות. This word in Kohelet, that the chachomim, the wise people, are referred to as בעלי אסופות, that doesn't mean prodding sticks. That means they sit grouped together, asufim, they sit in groups. Voskim ba'Torah, and they study the Torah. Different schools of thought. Halalu mitamim v'halalu mitarim. One says things are tamei, and one says it's tahor. One, it's unclean, clean, and it's clean. Halalu osrim v'halalu maturim. One school of thought says this is forbidden, one school of thought says it's permitted. Halalu poslim v'halalu makshirim. Shema yomar adam, maybe a person will say, hey, chani lamei Torah miyata, what's the point of learning? You can find a view to support anything, what's the point? Where does it all go? Talmud lomar, kulam nitnu miroe echad, kel echad netanan, panas echad amaran, bipi adon kol ha'masim baruch hu. One God gave the entire Torah. This has one author. Whether you're learning the view of those who are mitamim, or you're learning the views of those who are mitarim, wherever you're learning, it has one author. Dichtiv ha'edaber Elokim et kol ha'dvarim ha'eleh. The Mishnah gave us all the words of the Torah, both the written law and the oral law. Everything comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Af ata, so you too, and this is an important direction to as to how to learn. Asei oznecha ke'afar chesed. Make your ear like a funnel, that it takes everything in, that you allow it to enter. You don't prejudge it. Uknei lecha lev mevin, and acquire for yourself, develop for yourself an open, understanding heart. Lishmoa et divrei metamim, et divrei metarim, to be able to listen to paradox, to be able to hear people with opposite opinions. Don't shut yourself down. We tend to do that. We form our own opinion, and anybody who gives us a different opinion, we shut down. And the advice here from the Chachomim is, no, develop a lev mevin that allows you to open your ears to diverse opinion. Et divrei osrim ve et divrei matirin, the words of those who say forbidden and those who say permitted. Et divrei poslim ve et divrei machirin. So the first step in learning is an openness to diversity of opinion among informed people. We're not talking about diversity of opinion among ignorant people. You don't have to listen to all the different opinions from people who are not Talmidei Chachamim, who haven't studied the Talmud, haven't studied the Gemara. But if you're talking about Talmidei Chachamim, who are Talmidei Chachamim both in knowledge and in character, listen to the different opinions. Don't be threatened by different opinions. Hear the full range of opinion. And then what do you do with that full range? So there we come to our Gemara, which is the case of the Tanur Shel Achnai, a discussion why it's called that particular kind of an oven, and they decided it can receive tumat, it can become contaminated. Rabbi Eliezer answered all the answers. There was a debate as to whether this oven made of pieces should be treated as its individual pieces, or it should be treated as an individual, as an integrated whole. Two different ways of looking at something that is portable, that is made collapsible in this way. And they argue backwards and forwards, and they don't accept his view. You know the famous Gemara, if the halacha is like me, let this carob tree prove it. The carob tree moves 100 cubits. They said, since when do we admit carob trees into the Beis HaMedrash to discuss a piece of Gemara? What are you bringing carob trees into the discussion? So let the stream prove I'm right. The stream started flowing backwards. Since when do you bring proofs from a stream? So he said, okay, let's come inside the Beis HaMedrash. Let the walls of this Beis HaMedrash prove that I'm right. He took Kotlei Beit HaMedrash Lipol. The walls of the Beis HaMedrash started collapsing. Ga'arbahem Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua got up and shouted at the walls and said to them, Im Talmidei Chachamim Menatzim Zetze Ba'alocha Atem Ma'ativchem. Why are you walls getting involved in our dispute here? This has nothing to do with you. Your job is to support the roof. So just get back into your upright position. Lo naflu mipnei kvadosh Rabbi Yeshua v'lo. The wall stopped collapsing. They didn't stand upright because of the honor of Rabbi Yeshua. They didn't collapse because of Rabbi Eliezer. They just stood in a slant. If you go to that place today when this was written, you would still see that these walls are crooked. So Rabbi Eliezer is now so frustrated. He knows he's right, and they won't accept it from him. And he says, let heaven prove I'm right. Yatzdar bat kol va'amra, a heavenly voice comes out and says, Malachem etzer Rabbi Eliezer, why are you arguing with Rabbi Eliezer? Eliezer shalacha kemoto b'chol makom. Don't you know that we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer in every situation? Why aren't you accepting his words? Amad Rabbi Yeshua raglav va'amar. Rabbi Yeshua gets up on his feet and he turns to Hashem, to the bat kol, and he says, Lo b'shamayimi, the Torah is no longer in heaven. My Lord Bashamayi, what did he mean? Omar Rabbi Yirmiyah explained Rabbi Yirmiyah, Shikfa nitna Torah me'ar Sinai, enanu mashkichim bevatko. Once Torah was given at Mount Sinai, we don't listen to heavenly voices anymore. Shikfa katavta ba'ar Sinai betorah, acharei rabim la'atot, you've given us the method of psak, you follow the majority. And here the majority of Talmidei Chachomim disagree with Rabbi Eliezer. So who cares if there's a batkol? Who cares what you think, God? You've told us to figure it out, and we have figured it out, not like Rabbi Eliezer. Ashkeche Rabbi Nosson Leliyahu, later Rabbi Nosson met with Eliyahu and Avi, Amale, my Avid Kutchebrichu Bahai Shaita. Such presence of mind. You meet Eliyahu, you've got a Gilu Eliyahu. What do you ask him? Eh? When we were discussing that, what was the Ribbono Shel Olam doing, Eliyahu? Amale, Kachayich Voma Nitzchuni Banai, Nitzchuni Banai. The Ribbono Shel Olam was smiling, so to say, and was saying, my children have beaten me. They they've proved me wrong. They've beaten me in the argument. A lot has been written on this piece of Gemara, as is often the case with the Matmonim. Our job is to try and narrow down to the essence of it and not get too distracted by all that has been written. But there are two pieces that are very important. Firstly, there's a piece of Rabbeinu Chananel, which I bring at the bottom just as an aside, where Rabbeinu Chananel says there are Geonim who've explained this piece of Gemara on the basis that it was actually a dream of one of the Talmidim who fell asleep in the Beis HaMedrash, and he dreamt all of this. But the dreams of a Talmid Chacham are very valid and very important. It's almost as if it really happened. A lot of credence is given to it. And it's not reported as a dream, he goes on to say, because he didn't want it to be discounted, that this is just a dream. So it was reported as fact because the message of the dream was so valid and so important. It doesn't matter whether it was a dream or not. It's irrelevant whether it's a dream or not. The message is the same. The message is valid. That's how Rabbeinu Chananel brings it. Most people learn that it really happened. The Ktzos HaChoshen, we've brought this before from the Ktzos HaChoshen in his Psiche, in his opening, a very important piece of writing, that whole introduction of the Ktzos HaChoshen, where he brings the Medrash from Bereishis Rabbah that all the angels got together, and those that were the angels of Chesed and Emes. Chesed said that man should be created because he'll do kindness. Emes said man should not be created because humankind is incapable of grasping truth. Truth is too big and too complex for the human mind to grasp. And therefore, why create a human being? And it goes backwards, Emes and so on. And Ma'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Natal Emet V'Hishlicha Arza. Hashem threw Emes out, so he was left with three. He could get a majority that way. And they said to him, Ribbono Shel Olam, V'Zeh Tachshit Shelcha, you're throwing Emes out, you're throwing truth out. How can you do that? That's what you stand for. And the Ribbono Shel Olam answers that that's what he went, Ta'ale emet min ha'aretz, made truth come from earth. Kivan she'ikara bri'a avura Torah v'adam b'sichlo ha'nashim me'animna la'asig ha'emet ha'amiti. Since everything is about the Torah and a human being can't grasp truth, v'chashe yitnahig olamot kulam me'alma v'alma api Torah ha'adam lo yapi ha'emet. And God, if you allow yourself to be governed by human reasoning, which we know is flawed, then how is this all going to work? The universe is going to be governed by things that aren't true. Harei atam bevazeh tachshit shelcha. Al zeh shiva kadosh baruch hu. Zeh ritzoni. That's what I want. Shita'aleh emet min ha'aretz v'emet yehiyeh kefi haskamat ha'chachamim. I will adapt the truth to the conclusions reached by the wise people. B'seichel ha'anoshi v'lishkon kavod ba'atzeinu. And that, he says, is the meaning of the bracha, Shenatan lanu Torat emet. Hashem gave us a Torah of truth. It becomes truth. If we work on it, if we really work on the Torah, then it becomes truth. And if you think that if it's not true, it's going to damage you in some way, v'chaye olam nata b'tuchena. That's the next part of the bracha. So that's the Ktzos HaChoshen based on the Medrash. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants human rational truth or human rational reasoning with all its flaws to govern the way the world works. And the important message for us is the world doesn't work on the basis of certainty. We've often said halakha is how to live with certainty in a world of uncertainty. If the human mind is not capable of grasping truth, we can never be sure that anything's true. So halakha is the method, the whole method of Torah is how do you live in a world where you don't know what's true? So you live with halakha. And what is halakha? Harei rabim latot, how to work out the halakha and so on. The other piece that's important, and this is the Drashot HaRan, and the 11th Drosh of the Ran. The Ran, apart from being a great Rosh Yeshiva and a Mefarish of the Gemara and of the Rif and the Mechaber of Shalis and Chuvis, was also a Rav and gave Drashot and gave Musar. Was not very popular. His Musar was not appreciated by the communities of Spain. They gave him a very hard time because of that. Because he felt it was the beginning, this was before the expulsion of the Jews, and already the Jews, very modern orthodoxy was penetrating. And almost to the levels of what we call Reform Jewry was developing in Spain at that time. And the Ran went out to battle against that. And the Drashot HaRan are part of that effort of their own. And he goes in, and among the things that he discusses this very, very beautifully, he brings the Gemara in Chagiga, and he says there, what the Chachamim conclude, that's what Hashem told him on Sinai. If you want to know what Hashem told him on Sinai, have the Chachamim work it out, and they'll come to the right conclusion. But then he says, Gam im yispiku Chachamim medavar ma. He says, the other thing we've learned is that Hashem doesn't give the resolution of doubt over to prophecy. Prophecy is not the way you resolve doubt. You don't go to a Kabbalist to get the Kabbalistic answer. You work it out. That's how it has to be worked out. And you don't listen to a bat call, as we see with Rabbi Eliezer, the story that we've just had. Even a bat call, how much surer can you be than a heavenly voice that everyone in the Beis Medrash can hear? And Rabbi Yeshua gets up and says, keep out of this. That's not the way we work things out. And he says, not only that, but even if the Chachamim are in doubt, you don't use nevuah to solve the doubt. Live with the doubt. It's okay to be in doubt. You don't have to have a resolution to everything. And if the only way you can resolve it is through a prophecy or a heavenly voice, that's not how we operate. That's not the Torah. So stay in doubt. It's okay to live in doubt. The Ran then asks, but we know that halakha is not just halakha. It's not just advice. That if something is prohibited, it's damaging to the soul. If you eat something treif, it's damaging to the soul. If you do something that is asur, it's damaging to the soul. So if the Chachamim make an error and they tell you to eat something which is actually treif, or they tell you to do something which is actually asur, so the principle is, you have to follow it. Ask the Ran, but if you follow it, you're going to get damaged. It's like this poison, this cyanide, and a pharmacist makes a mistake and says, here, take this for your cold, and gives you cyanide. What are you going to say? Well, I must follow the pharmacist and take the cyanide? So if the Chachomim tell us to do something that we know is wrong, how do we not worry about the damage it does to our soul? And he says an amazing thing, that by following the Chachomim, that practice of submitting your own ego to the view of the Chachomim, the antidote to the cyanide is following the Chachamim. So the fact that you've done what you were meant to do and you followed the Chachamim means it's not going to harm you. That's how the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, in such a way that by following the Chachamim, it's not going to harm you. The truth is that with this, you're at an enormous disadvantage. Most of you are at an enormous disadvantage. And I suppose these things are all relevant. I feel it's such an advantage because I've seen the kind of people, I know them, I've spent time with them, who are kulot Torah, people who have nothing in their heart or mind other than the Torah. There is no ego, there is no self-interest. And when you hear an opinion from such a person, that's not their personal opinion. That's an opinion that is built on a method of reasoning and thinking in Torah where there is nothing but Torah. You sit in front of one of the Gedolei Yisrael and you ask for advice. You're not getting his personal advice. You're getting something very, very different. Rav Kook and other Mekubalim talk about the difference between a Ratzon Pnimi and a Ratzon Chitzoni. We all have two sets of desires. The exterior desires, Kina, Kavod, and Taiva, and the internal desires, which is Aser Ritzon, Chakir Tzono, where you're aligned, your will is aligned with Hashem's will. These are people that you feel when you're with them. There is no Ratzon Chitzoni. They have no outer desires. Their only desire is to be aligned with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So when you're getting their view, you're getting a view that is aligned with the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's completely different. Rav Kook talks about the fact that Torah was brought down to Sinai. When you remove the ego and you're the lowest of the mountains, Torah comes to you. You don't go up to Torah. And all of that Torah comes down to the individual. When a person, we're talking about this level of Talmid Chacham, we're talking about somebody who's so without ego, so without self-interest, that the Torah comes down to them. And when they're giving you an opinion, it's not a personal opinion. It's the opinion of the Torah. And Hashem says, that's as close as you're going to get to the truth as a human being. You will never get to the truth. Marcus Aurelius is right. whatever you hear is an opinion. You can't understand facts. There are too many facts. You only understand your limited vision of facts, no matter how big and great you are. Even if you understand the facts in your whole solar system, in your whole galaxy, it's only a small part of the truth. Even if you understand the facts in your period of time, it's only a small part of the period of time. Even if you understand the facts in one sugya of Gemara, it's only a small part of the totality of Torah. No human being is going to know it all. All you will have is an opinion. And all you will see is a perspective. You can't see the truth. How can a human being see the truth? Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu. Other than Moshe Rabbeinu, nobody's been able to see the entire truth. So everything is going to be built on opinions and perspectives. But there's an opportunity to get the opinion of the Torah. There's an opportunity to get the perspective of the Torah. So in that, Marcus Aurelius is right. Everything is an opinion and a perspective. But when you're dealing with Chachomim, it's not a personal opinion and a personal perspective. It's an opinion and a perspective of the Torah, which Hashem undertakes to run the world according to that, to make sure that it operates as if that is the truth. From now on, that is the truth that we have to operate by. If the Chachomim tell us to do something, if the Chachomim tell us to go in a certain way, then we have that. And it's important for us to understand and to gain that perspective. Often you'll hear people pontificating about whether they agree with the Gedolim or they don't agree with the Gedolim. Come on, what difference does it make whether you agree with them or you don't agree with them? At the end of the day, the question is just, who are the Gedolim? Are they Gedoli Israel who are on this kind of level? And those are the people who need to direct us and guide us, because their opinions and their perspectives are the opinions and perspectives by which the Torah tells us to lead our lives.